Welcome to the Equal Giving Circle podcast, The Sharing Culture, the show that talks about sharing, who does it, why, and the history, and a whole lot in between. Each episode is a stewarded conversation by one of our team members and another community organizer or community member. We hope that you enjoy these conversations about sharing and are inspired to lean in and explore your own relationship with sharing and are called to stretch and build deeper alongside of us. We look forward to sharing with you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tamara Green, and I'm the CSA Director with the Equitable Giving Circle. And today we have Daniel Grady here today. We're going to be talking about food systems and farms in general. So, Daniel, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and Black Futures Farms where you work at?
Yeah. Peace, y'all. My name is Daniel Grady. So a little bit about me, I guess, pre-farming, because that wasn't always what I did. I grew up in Durham, North Carolina, grandson of a farmer. So it's always been in my blood, but not necessarily forefront in my life. I was a part of it, but not a part of it, if that makes any sense. I was aware of it. I guess we'll get to that in a little bit. But I grew up in North Carolina, moved here about 5 years ago. Wasn't farming when I got here, was in the tech world, completely different, kind of like desk to the dirt situation. Gotcha. Moved here immediately when COVID happened. So things were interesting, to say the least. But yeah, I've been here for 5 years, just making my way.
Nice. Before we get into the bulk questions, we have just three small questions that were given to me. So when you first came in, you gave me a green tomato, and I love it. I love it so much. But when you hear the word sharing, what's the first words that or thoughts that pop into your mind?
Caring. Not only because it rhymes, but because sharing is caring. That's a big part of what we do over at Black Futures. If we have it, other people have it too. If I got it, you got it kind of mentality.
Okay.
That's kind of how we do in the community. If somebody's having a cookout, you walk past the house, you smell some barbecue. What's up? Come through. Even if I don't know you. So just sharing the love is like the first thing I think about when I gave you that, when you mentioned that word to me.
Okay. What are some other things? I know you just mentioned food if somebody was walking by, but what are some other things you are interested in or willing to share?
Well, more about me, I guess. I like to run.
Okay, we got a walking group. Go on now.
Okay. we'll walk real fast. I said if I had to use an acronym to describe myself, it would be RUF. The R would be runner, U, unique, F, farmer, and then the other F would be foodie. I think that encompasses me. If anybody... anybody that knows me will tell you I like food. I might not look like it, but I love food. Love to eat.
So we're talking about this a lot, but what do you share the most of?
I'd say myself, my energy. And it's not to the point where it's overloading or overwhelming, but I give what I can give. And I feel like it's reciprocal when I meet folks. Yeah, I give a lot of myself, but it feels good to have that reciprocation and people responding the same way.
So what is the most radical or system disrupting thing you've done or ever done so far?
This
right here?
This farming, Black folk farming in general is radical. Black folk farming in Portland, Oregon, in the Pacific Northwest is extremely atypical. It's a small community. It's really fun to get to know everybody, meet everybody that's a part of this food system, including you, Tamara, including everybody who comes out to the farm. Mm-hmm. Everybody who eats in general is a part of this system. It's a lot of fun to me to be a part of that. It's super radical. It's super liberating. I feel super inspired, motivated when I do it. You can probably hear it in my voice, the inflection in my voice when I talk about
it. Yeah, you sound like you're like, yeah,
it really does it for me. Gets those juices flowing, whatever those juices are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that's probably the most radical thing I've done this year.
Okay, right on.
With the folks I'm doing it with.
Okay, love. I feel you on that one. So I know you said that you're like from desk to farm. So what kind of interested you in farm? I know you said your dad, you grew up in the farms, but you kind of like strayed away from that for a little bit. What brought you back?
Yeah, so grandpa farmed. He had a hog farm down in, not many people gonna know where this is, Bun, North Carolina, population of 372, maybe maybe 376, because my cousin had a baby.
Everybody know everybody.
Everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows everybody's business. But everybody knows that my grandfather was a farmer down there. He farmed on a few acres down in it's Franklin County, North Carolina. If y'all want to look it up, a couple street lights, post office, it's popping. I didn't necessarily grow up down there, but it was about 40 minutes from where we live, so we had access to it. So okay. We would go there all the time. That's where the family reunion was.
Okay.
All however many folks would gather down there at Gethsemane Church, and he would farm his hogs. He had collards, kale. No, he didn't do kale. Collards, turnips, sweet potatoes, okra.
Oh, let me some okra.
All the country folk stuff. I remember playing in the pig pen with the hogs. But I just remember being able to get food, and it tastes a lot different than what you get from the store. So it did feel different to do that. I did kind of stray away. You know, like I said, I was in it, but not in it. I knew he did it, but didn't really know what went into it, why he did it, or even how it made him feel. I just knew he did it because that's what he did. Didn't know the importance of what he was doing for not only my family, my mom, brother, sister. And it's super impactful looking back at it, just seeing what he was doing and what I'm doing on such a small scale. To see what it takes and the dedication you have and the love you have to have for your people to do something like that and to want to do something like that over and over and over again for years and years and not necessarily want to take a lot of credit or spotlight, but he did it because he had a kind heart. My mom grew up on the farm, kind of sort of on the farm, but she wasn't necessarily a farmer either. She's a teacher. Well, she knows how to drive a tractor. But it was always cool hearing stories about being on the farm and what it was like when they were on the farm throwing cow pies and being able to give other people food. And he had so much watermelon. I used to not like watermelon because I ate it so much. Yeah, it means a lot. Farming means a lot, but I'm glad I'm back to it now. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Why do you think farming is important to the Black community?
It keeps us involved, connected. Again, we're all connected through that deep, deep, deep trauma that we have because of farming. I know that scares a lot of people away from it. But if I could say anything to people, it would be to embrace that. Love that. It's a labor of love, not servitude. Don't look at it like that. This is something you should do or at least know a farmer. Know if you don't know how to farm, because you know what's going on with the world, we don't know what's going to happen. It's good to have control of our food, what we're growing. If you don't want collards, if you rather have kale, you can grow your own kale. Don't worry about that. You know, just be able to have control and sovereignty over what you're doing with your stuff and yourself and your body. And that's just a general thing, not only with farming, but if we want to get real deep with it, with all walks of life, all types of things. But yeah, just being able to have control and say so over what you're eating, connecting. I've met so many people out there at the farm. I didn't know Black people lived in Portland until I went to the farm.
Okay.
It was like a mini family reunion. Never seen anybody out there in my life, but you know, you see somebody, oh, I look like my cousin, or you act just like my uncle. So it was a real familial atmosphere when I first got involved out here.
Nice. So how have you seen farming change over the years?
Technology, I've seen that change a lot with the advent of all the stuff we have, like apps on our phone. I know there are farmers who probably don't even touch the dirt, but they do everything from apps. I've seen solar farms, whereas that wasn't necessarily a thing when we were younger. My granddad wouldn't touch a solar panel, wouldn't know what that thing was. Yeah, I'd say technology is probably the biggest change I've seen. I wouldn't know if this was necessarily changed, but a lot of younger folks are really into it. Yeah. I'd say when I was younger, that's not what we were thinking about. It's definitely not what we were thinking about. Probably Pokemon Go or something. But yeah, I've seen a lot more young folk involved. And I think it's because they want to make a change in their actual community and get to know folks on a different level. That's another reason I kind of gravitated toward that. It was something I could do where it wasn't necessarily being out in the streets doing nefarious activities or pouring libations that weren't necessarily good libations. So yeah, just being involved and connected, I think that's a great reason for folks to do that, even if you're on a farmer yourself. But being involved, connected, having control of your food and your diet, eating stuff that's in season, folks should have that knowledge or at least awareness of the farm and that we exist, or that Black people are farming and that there are Black farmers up here, and that we're cool people, and that we know more than just yeehaw and shaboozy. I feel like those are like... Yeah, Black folks got to get involved. We got to stick together.
Okay, I know you said some of the changes that you've seen have been like technology entering the realm of farming. Mm-hmm. Are there any changes that you're either thinking about or looking forward to coming up that you're like, hey, these are some changes, and I think that these would really help the Black community?
Absolutely. The solar, for sure. So we've implemented a few energy conservation efforts. And water reclamation, solar energy or solar panels is going to be a big part of that. So we'd like to do as much as we can to reduce our carbon footprint. And technology is one of those ways, hence the futures in Black Futures Farm. If I could speak on Malcolm's behalf, Malcolm Hoover and Mirabai Collins, those are the co-founders of Black Futures Farm. I should definitely give them a shout out. Woo, woo, woo. They would knock my head off if I didn't. But they came up with the name, and the Black is self-explanatory because we are Black first, second, and last. And Malcolm's really into tech and futuristic stuff. So that kind of was channeled through the farm and his love for nature. And that's how the future part came. So he wanted to implement a lot of these solar and energy conservation efforts, technology stuff, as futuristic as we can get while still being connected to the roots, which is kind of always going to be a thing. If I could use another reference, we're all connected like a mycelial network, or like all of us as Black folks, we're connected whether we know it or not. It's deeper than what we can see. It goes way back. It's deep. So Malcolm's thing was to do a lot of the technological stuff. So solar panels, we're going to have, or we already do have some drone footage. We've got some drone mapping out on the site. Yeah, that happens rather frequently. And the website is updated. It's blackfutures.farm. So it's going to have some farm tours on there. So we're using those. That's drone footage. And that's done by our partner, Nicholas Williams, who does drone footage. So he's taking some site maps. Those are all on the website. They're split up. It's pretty detailed. So it's some cool stuff that we're doing out there. We've also got I don't know how much I can speak on. That's I'm kind of hesitant. Mm-hmm. So we've got a bus. We want to do like some type of food bus or food service where we can just post up and give food to the homies, you know, and do some type of reconfiguration with that bus. Take those seats out, put like some coolers in, have some cold storage in there. We want to do some other stuff out on the farm. Just stuff that looks different than what you see at a typical farm, but still, you know, maintaining some resemblance of the outdoors and not like we're in a lab or robots doing all this stuff for us. We're still out there. We're still hands in the ground, boots to the mud. But we do want to implement a lot of those technological features that are changing in the community now, or in the farming community now.
Okay, this is... a quick question. I know you guys donate to Equitable Giving Circle.
Yes.
Are there some other organizations that y'all donate to in the community?
Yes. And donate. I'm glad you said that. Donate. That means free.
Yes.
So that's what we do. If we got it, you got it. It's free. We donate Equitable Giving Circle. A few folks we take Lane Middle School, which is out in the Brentwood Darlington neighborhood, which is where the farm is. Urban Gleaners, which is directly across from where we're from. We've got Feed 'em Freedom out in far eastern part of the city. It's 131st and Santa, I believe, where the pantry is. Numerous community members. If folks pull up, we'll fill up a bag for them.
Yeah. So y'all not all talk, y'all about that action.
No, we about it. I got pictures to prove it. I got the dirt under my nails to prove it too. Lewis and Clark, we're taking stuff there. Reed College, they did a little dinner for us one time. Gosh, it's a long list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Since you're in the farming world, do you see the Black community interest in farming or even just like starting their own garden growing? And if so, why do you think that is?
For sure. I think people are realizing it's cool to do this kind of stuff. It's not just, oh, I can take a couple pictures and, you know, call it a day. People are really wanting to do this stuff because it is a way to be involved and be around cool people. pat myself on the back, and eat food, good food, healthy food. And people are actually aware of what's happening, especially the last few years. I think that's kind of how I got into it. Speaking for myself, just the way the world was, I think things we always heard were we kept hearing food system or food service or food shortage, this, supply chain, that. So that really got me thinking, and I know a lot of other Black folks thinking, what's going on with the food? Where is it coming from? Who's touching it? Is there a middleman? And then, you know, being involved directly, you get to see exactly what's happening, where it's coming from. Again, the community is strong. And if you eat, you're Black and you've probably been to the farm in one capacity or another, or heard of it, or even maybe had a vegetable or had some hot sauce or something somebody made. But it's good to have people out there in the space doing the actual farming, doing the actual gardening, and hearing people nerd out about gardening, like people you wouldn't necessarily think would nerd out about gardening. And it just being a new thing to talk about, just not the mundane, like the reality TV or whatever, actually doing something. I think people want to be involved. Like, people want to do stuff. They want to have stuff to talk about and say they're making a difference. I think this is a real good way to do that.
Yeah. Well, because I know even with EGC at our Thursday market, we hand out like plant starts for vegetables and seeds and stuff like that. And just hearing people come back and be like, hey, I started a little small garden. I got so many tomatoes or this and that. And I was able to give to my family, able to give to my neighbor. Yeah, people love giving that out. And especially with these prices now going on, I'm telling everybody to start their own little garden and get going. Yeah. Prices is crazy nowadays.
Yeah, I think people like to have ownership. It's good to have that. And then it's almost like raising a pet. You take care of it, you nurture it, and in return, it'll love you back. You put that good food in your body, it'll do good things for you. The results are almost immediate. You take the trash out of your diet, trash in, trash out. You put good food in, you got goodness coming out. I feel like that's kind of what's going on with me. I'm gonna take me some fried green tomatoes home. I got some salad greens. I'm gonna do some stuff with that. So it feels good to be able to do stuff like that. And again, I'm not a farmer. I was not a farmer by any means. The most I did was hang out with grandpa on the farm and get dirty. but I do think being there again is super cool. Not only for myself, but for folks when they come out there, you can kind of see the hesitation when people come to the farm, like, oh, I don't want to get dirty or this or this or that. And then by the time they leave, whether it's a half hour, a couple hours, you can see the change.
The pep in their step, the smile. In their step.
Yeah, yeah. Just putting their hands in the dirt, it literally does something for you, physically does something for you, raises your dopamine levels. It's like proven. So that's great for people to be able to do that, especially in a city where there's so much nature. It's just different ways to connect. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good way to do it. And it's we're within the city. So a great way, yeah, come out to the farm, Black Futures Farm. Put your hands in the dirt. See where your food really comes from. You realize that onions don't grow at the grocery store. Somebody's doing the work. They're putting them in the ground. They're taking care of it. And people can do the same thing. If I did it, anybody else can do it. I'm pretty simple. Yeah, take some patience. I think that's probably one of the biggest things I've learned is patience, exercising patience with the little plants.
Yeah. I think it takes patience, but I remember when I was younger and I had a little growing plant just to see it grow. You get excited. You like, mm-hmm. I did that. Like, I helped that grow and I'm gonna eat that in a week.
That feels good.
Yeah.
That feels good.
What do you think are some things that are stopping Black people in Portland from farming?
Awareness. Just knowing that farming is a thing in general for Black folks. And then awareness on a more micro scale, awareness within the community that there's people farming within the city. And getting to know those people, I think that's a big hindrance. Being secure while farming, being safe while farming is definitely a big obstacle. I know that's a thing. Anywhere you go outside of the city, if you got a big parcel of land, that's just something you deal with here. It gets me kind of angry. Yeah, just having to deal with that kind of stuff, being safe and secure while you're farming. We're in the city and we have break-ins. There was a break-in at the farm yesterday, as a matter of fact. That's why I'm getting kind of angry. But we work so hard to do this and give it away. And for somebody that had a nerve to just come in there and cut locks and cut fences, that can be really annoying. It's not going to stop the work at all. It's not going to stop the work at all. But if somebody wants something, if they need something, just come say, hey, bro, them collars looking mighty fine over there. Can I get a bundle? Yeah, bro, take three. How many people you got in your house? Take it. The tomato, take the tomato. But you don't have to break in and steal stuff. Maybe it's a pride issue. But yeah, I think security, accessibility to land, to the knowledge, a lot of it is gatekept. People just don't know what's happening. And then people within the farming community still aren't always in the know. There's a lot of policy that keeps folks out of stuff. And they use a lot of mumbo jumbo and talk that people don't necessarily understand and want to take the time to read, or they write these farm bills that are 200-300 pages and have all kinds of wordage in there that you need a lawyer or some kind of fancy degree to read and understand and interpret. So that's definitely another hindrance for folks getting involved. Financials. Land is expensive. Stuff is expensive. Stuff has been expensive. Stuff's going to keep on getting more expensive. They need to give folks their land back so we don't have to pay for this stuff. People need to vote. I don't care what you believe in, who your God is. While we're here together right now, take care of one another. Do what you can do. Don't be a POS. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. Yeah.
So I know you just talked about somebody breaking into your stuff. What are some stuff that you try to do to help stop that or prevent that?
I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked because I was...
No. Tell your truth.
Yeah. Well, we don't do anything necessarily different to prevent it. We just go out and get another lock. Until they get tired of cutting it or get enough pride to ask, hey, man, can I have something? But you don't have to come in there. There's nothing in there to take. I mean, you're going to take some grass. You're going to take some seeds. If you want that, we'll plant it for you. We'll do the work for you. We'll save you some steps. But no, we're not doing anything additional security, I don't think there's any need. I just think people should love one another, look out for one another.
Respect people's space and...
Respect people's space, have boundaries. Just use good judgment. I know when you, if you're going through some stuff, it's hard to have proper judgment. I understand that. But no, I don't think we should have to do anything extra with security or any additional measures like that. But yeah, folks come in, they mess with your stuff if it's not nailed to the ground. But it's not going to stop what we're doing. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We'll keep growing this food, keep giving the food, keep educating folks, keep loving on folks, keep respecting folks, keep uplifting Black people. That's not going to stop. That's what it is, start to finish.
Okay. So I know I text you once and I was just like, hey, do you guys sell your stuff? And you said, nah, y'all give that away.
Nah.
Is there a reason why you guys don't do that?
So we did farmers markets for a couple seasons, and it just seemed like it kind of defeated the purpose for other farmers out there. I didn't want to outcompete anybody if my model or our model was to give. It was more or less for exposure and experience for me. It wasn't necessarily to make the money, but yeah, we give. If it's there, you got it. But yeah, we've done markets. We've done stuff where like partnerships with folks where we do sell some stuff to people if it's a large scale organization or if it's not necessarily like a Black person who needs a thing, then yeah, we'll charge a little bit. But for Black folks, yeah, for you, I give you whatever you want. If I got it, again, you got it. That's just how it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you guys have to do a lot of grants and stuff to keep this going?
That is a way that, or one of the big ways that keeps us afloat, grants, donations. There's a big, 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 ginormous grant out right now. I know a lot of folks are applying for. I'm sure we'll have our hands in there somewhere and get a piece of that. But yeah, there's a lot of money to be had out here for the farming. That is kind of how we stay afloat. Contributions from the community. Can't do it all myself and Malcolm and Mirabai. So a lot of volunteer help. One of the biggest days for us during the season to kick off the season is our Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration / work party, our first work day of the season. So we probably have about 140-160-ish people on the site at one time in January, in the cold, in their gloves, all colors, all skill levels, just people who want to do good and be a part of something big. So that's just like a cleanup, start the farm day. So a lot of people are getting involved that way. Community donations. We'll just ask for stuff a lot of times and the universe, the ancestors say, hey,
here you go.
You put it out there. This is what you asked for. Here it is, tenfold. You waited. You worked for it. It's yours. It was yours to start with. You just had to, you know, be ready for it. Now we're ready for it. We're ready to receive our gift. So that's where we at.
Okay. Are you guys open year round?
Okay. The farm and Daniel are, we are almost one, but I need time to rest. So I know people will hear my name or hear the farm and I'm kind of synonymous with it. Cause when you go out there, I'm usually out there, but in the wintertime, no, just like any machine works, it needs to rest. The farm has to take a nap. It's going to hibernate for maybe a couple months so the soil can break down. All the nutrients can replenish themselves. We put down our amendments and just let stuff kind of rest. So we are doing things year round. So that'd be a different question. So yeah, the farm is not necessarily open year round. There will be food in the ground for most of the year. There's probably going to be some leafy green, collard kale. Maybe in the future, if we keep our, we've got some hoop houses, we could potentially keep food in there and that would keep food year round. But we still do programs and workshops and events throughout the year. We've got a headquarters space in Southeast Portland that we use quite a bit now. We host workshops and seminars there, and that'll be throughout the cold season. So kind of now up until probably February, we'll do stuff indoors as best we can, unless it necessitates being outside. But yeah, we do stuff year round. We try to stay busy and keep folks involved because we don't want people's, you know, might not be in work mode. We won't want people's interest to necessarily diminish during the off season. Still want to be involved and do stuff. There's always some farming stuff to do. So yeah, we're year round activity, but not necessarily year round at the farm.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask what kind of like seminars and stuff that you guys put on?
Yeah. So we've got a few community members who have hosted some solar bucket workshop where we built some solar buckets. We use some 5-gallon buckets and we use a few materials and wire those up and use those solar panels, like tiny solar panels. And it serves as like a charger or a battery. We had another brother come do a workshop on solar power and how it benefits the Black community. And specifically us at the farm, we've had some folks do compost workshops at the farm. Yeah, we'll host that. We hosted a spores workshop, like a mushroom workshop, gourmet mushroom workshop, how to grow, how to care for your mushrooms, how to inoculate, the kind of start to finish situation there. We want to do more cooking hands-on workshops or seminars, like some canning, pickling, that type stuff. Yeah, we've got a brother, Pedro, Chef Dro, who does the hot sauce. He'll do like hot sauce and chili oil. Knowledge Divine is the one who did the solar workshop. Spore Sisters, I'm going to give all these folks a shout out. Spore Sisters, Denise, and
they're
Jasmine.
The mushrooms.
Yeah, the mushrooms. Yeah. They did the mushroom workshop last weekend. I'm pretty sure they posted on Instagram. So yeah, we've done a lot of stuff, a lot of workshops, seminars out at the farm, other places. We take field trips, so we try to stay involved on both ends, the learning part and the educating people part, whether it's myself or Malcolm or Mira doing the speaking. There's somebody that's a part of the community that's willing to help out and share what knowledge they have and how it relates or pertains to the farm or to what we're doing.
Okay. I'm a firm believer that for a lot of things to grow and change, we need to get our youth more involved.
Yes.
And I know you said that you guys work with the youth. If you don't mind me asking, how do you guys work with the youth and get them involved in the whole farming process?
So for them, if you can keep their attention, you're golden. Yeah, most of the time they have a good time out there, whether they're working or not. They're getting their hands dirty. They're able to express and exude all the emotion and energy, get all that out, and it be acceptable, which I think it should be anyway. They're kids. They're going to do what they're going to do. But yeah, we like to have them out there, talk to them about what's happening at the farm, talk to them about what's happening in the world, and talk to them why it's important for Black people to do this work. And since we're in the Pacific Northwest, specifically how to advocate for your Black classmates and friends, since there aren't as many of us out here. It's a real big deal. It might not seem like it to the little kids. I know they don't know too much about that until they're taught it, because that stuff is taught, that somebody is different than them. You should just treat everybody like, oh, that's my classmate. So we try to teach them that at a young age, teach them the importance of farming and eating fresh food and what it looks like to do that kind of work, what the seed would look like. Just, you know, it's like a science class, just no walls out there. It's still learning. Even for adults, even for myself, I'm learning every day. Whether I'm at the farm or not, I'm learning something every day. But we learn a lot about ourselves when we're out there. So it's good for them to connect with nature on that type of level and be able to actually take something out of the ground and maybe take a bite of it and know what it is. Like maybe they've heard the word mustard and never seen a mustard plant or never seen a mustard seed, or maybe heard the phrase faith of a mustard seed. It makes a lot more sense when you see how big or how small a mustard seed is. So that's some powerful stuff. If you can actually put words with sights and sounds, it's a whole sensory experience out there. And I like for them to embrace and nurture that. The farm has smells. Even though we don't have animals out there, it's going to have some smells. You're going to smell maybe some rotten compost or some fermenting apples, or maybe you'll smell some rosemary, or maybe you'll smell some sage or lemon balm, or maybe you'll smell a thing you didn't know, you know, existed, or maybe you'll touch a nettle and it'll sting you. But just to have that experience, I think is super cool for kids, even for myself. So something cool with the nettle that I show the kids is that you can eat it directly off of the stalk. I don't know if you've touched stinging nettle with your bare hands or if it's touched you. But it can be good for you if you do it enough in moderation, anything in moderation. Or getting stung by a bee out there. Stuff like that happens. But it makes you feel alive for sure. But if you take the nettle, you can kind of fold it and the stingers neutralize each other. And it has this, to me, it tastes like kiwi skin. That's the thing I've narrowed it down to. Tastes like kiwi skin. So I get the kids to do a lot of stuff like that. And it also shows them a lot of things that can hurt you can also make you stronger. If done right or manipulated, you can kind of take somebody's nasty negative energy and spin that around and turn around, just like the rain. People might think the rain is bad or nasty, but we have a rainbow afterwards. So embrace all that we have that's out here in the world, all the knowledge that's available to us from people. You can get knowledge from people. You get knowledge from the earth, from the land. It talks to you. Put your bare feet out there on the ground. Just, you know, kind of sit with yourself. There's sometimes where I just let the kids just, you know, do your thing. Have fun. Be a kid. Sometimes they don't know what that means. Like, no, I know I can see you. You're itching to run over there and kick that dirt. Kick that dirt, man. Have fun. Be a kid. But also, it's to be a learning experience. Mm-hmm. Just learn something kind of out of the box. See something that's different, be revolutionary, do something liberating, play in the dirt and actually be commended for it. It's okay. Just for me, being a kid again, kind of being out in the dirt is like being a kid again. Yeah. There's stuff for everybody to learn, all ages. I think the youngest group of kids I've had come out there for something like organized is probably 7, 8 years old.
The babies.
The babies. I've had some high schoolers out, and the babies were more well-behaved than the high schoolers the last time they were out there. The older kids are so immature.
That's COVID.
Yeah.
It's the COVID life.
No, they get together. They get together. They start talking and talking about the weirdest stuff. But they were working, you know, so it's cool. The little kids, you know, just kind of have to keep them in line, but they listen. The older ones listen too. They all listen. It just looks different. But I think they're all receptive of what's going on out there and how it affects them, how it affects their community. A lot of the folks have connections to farming, and they'll tell me about it. And they're like, oh yeah, I play in my mom's garden. My mom is growing stuff. And that's real cool to hear. Sometimes they teach me stuff, the little kids. So they'll tell me this is how this grows or this is when that grows. They'll tell me what kind of recipes they use with a particular plant or veggie. And I'm like, okay, I might have to use that. So it's a each one teach one situation out there at the farm. The little kids teach me. I teach the little kids. We all share love and uplift one another. Yeah, it goes both ways. I think it's a good time out there. Yeah.
That's nice. If you have children, let's just say I'm a community member and I have some kids and I'm like, hey, I want to get them in that farm life world. How can they get involved in that? Or is it strictly through schools or can they contact you? How does that work?
You know, that's kind of a work in progress.
Gotcha.
So people can reach out to myself or Malcolm or Mirabai. I don't want to put them too much on the spot because they have a lot going on as it is. But they can reach me at daniel@blackfutures.farm if they want to get a hold of me and potentially talk about some coming out to the farm stuff. If they're little kids, if they want to do like a big organized group. Otherwise, you can just pop out to the farm on a like a Monday. We have volunteer days Mondays. There's a registration for that. The registration has closed for the season, seeing as that it's kind of late in the year. Yeah, things are going to need to rest. So we'll open that volunteer application back up in early January. So that's probably the best way to get involved. Or just, yeah, emailing myself directly or going to the website. That'll have blackfutures.farm. That's the website. And that'll have a bit more information on us, who we are, what we do, where we are, how you can get a hold of everybody. Yeah, if they wanted to bring some kids, that would probably be the best way. You have to sign a waiver. That's kind of it. Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily have any super kid-specific stuff yet. I'm all for hosting kids. It's just that the capacity isn't there yet. But we are doing some stuff in the future that will involve some youth. It's not official yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. To where we'll have some kind of youth programming on the regular at the farm on site where kids can hang out and get involved and get their hands dirty and kind of have say so and have ownership of space and what's going on with the land out there that they're using.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Y'all hear that? If y'all want to get your kids involved.
Holla.
So can you tell me something that's unique that brings you joy when you farm? Like just out of the blue, people won't even think about it. They're like, it's like something weird that you like to keep to yourself. I like to be nosy.
Ooh. I kind of like smelling the nasty stuff out there.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if that's unique, but...
It brings you joy. If that brings you joy, does, sir, you know, let it bring you joy.
Again, it is a sensory experience. If you're out there, stuff is going to smell, and I want to be able to identify these smells. So I can tell you what a rotten turnip smells like. I can tell you what some fermenting apples smell like. I could probably tell you the difference between a fermenting apple and fermenting fig because I've been out there and smelled all those things so much. Just seeing how stuff grows, like from its birth kind of to its evolution all the way to the end, like seeing how stuff goes to seed. I've never seen a radish or beet go to seed. That's kind of cool. And being able to get footage of that kind of stuff is cool. I'm not a photographer, but I've got some friends who come out there and they take pictures of all kinds of stuff. And they've got artwork. I'm like, wow, where'd you get this from? I was like, oh, this is from the farm. When you were standing right there when I took the picture, I was like, geez, it looks like a postcard or something. But yeah, photography, I do want to get more into that. But I think that's something unique. Just seeing stuff and seeing it on a different level is real cool for me. Like as opposed to seeing something in a dish, seeing something in the ground, seeing what it needs to grow or what grows around it or what grows with it. Yeah. And those smells for sure. And all the places that there are that, this stuff happens. There's so many like microclimates out at the farm. So I like to dig around and mess with that kind of stuff. Little micro ecosystems out of the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like hearing that. 'Cause I know, with EGC and my department that I work, I get the food after all the fun stuff happens. I just get like some boxes and I get to hand it out that way. But just to hear all the stuff that goes into making the food and the time, the love, the effort that it takes, it's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of prep, a lot of behind the scenes work. And We're all a part of it. We're all a part of this big system. Whether you're a consumer or a producer, we're all a part of it. I consider myself, I was more just a consumer, not necessarily thinking about all of it and all the steps that were behind it, like the putting it in the ground and watching it grow and planting it, cutting it, harvesting it, prepping it, bundling it up for people to distribute. So yeah, there's a lot into it.
All righty. Well, thank you, Daniel, for coming out and speaking with me today. Before I give our information about EGC, did you want to give another shout out about your websites and everything else that you want people to know about?
Shout out to my homies back home in North Carolina.
Whoop, whoop.
Also, prayers up for everybody involved in those hurricanes. I didn't know anybody directly, but I think we should just put that energy out there anyways, whether you do or don't. Also, yeah, Daniel at blackfutures.farm if y'all want to get a hold of me. The website is blackfutures.farm. If you're on the socials, we've got Instagram as well, Black Futures Farm. You'll see a picture of Malcolm and Mirabal on there. They're pretty friendly people, so easy to talk to. So yeah, shout out to them. Volunteer days are Mondays from 10 to 2. Applications will open back up in January. Other than that, yeah, that's me. That's the farm. That's how you can get a hold of us. Shout out to all the good people out there listening.
Alrighty, thank you again. So again, my name is Tamar Green. I'm the CSA director. And if you want to follow up about the vast work that Equitable Giving Circle does, please visit us at our website, www.equitablegivingcircle.org. You can learn more about our programming. And if you want to volunteer, or if you just want to go on and log on and give us that money, go right ahead. Or if you want to send me a message, please at kitchen@equitablegivingcircle.org. If you know organizations that might want a table, or if you got some chefs out there that want to volunteer their time and come on out and do some food demos with us, I would love that. So outside of that, thank you for listening to our podcast, and I will see you again.
Thanks for listening to The Sharing Culture with Equitable Giving Circle. We appreciate you being on this journey with us. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. If you loved what you heard, please tap in and find us on socials under Equitable Giving Circle, or find us at our website, www.equitablegivingcircle.org, to donate, volunteer, or learn more about our programming. We look forward to working with you all to build a stronger and more connected and resourced Portland community. Imagine Black is an Oregon-based nonprofit working to build Black political power across the state. They have recently created an app for our Black community here in Oregon. Everyone needs to check it out. Black Oregonians need a safer space online to connect and collaborate. The Black Possibilities app is designed for Black Oregonians to build community, heal from traumas, advocate for change, and dismantle anti-Black racism safely. It brings networking, civic power, leadership, community care, and strategic action to your phone. We need community care and camaraderie to deal with and heal from trauma of anti-Black racism. Imagine Black is excited to invite our community to join the Black Possibilities app this year. You know I'm already there, so join me in the app by going to Google Play and Apple stores and download the Black Possibilities app today.